I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Drake May for the game. Patting the ball. May scanning. Loads of time. He'll roll. He'll run. A sidestep. He's ready to throw. Nobody's open. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Stevenson. And May with an absolute jewel of an effort.
Swear words! Son of a... Yeah! Oh, man! An epic comeback falls painfully short as Drake May giveth with what I would say is probably the play of the year in the NFL, the miraculous last second, 11-second scramble, and the miracle touchdown heave to Ramondre Stevenson in the end zone to send what was previously one of the most boring football games any of us can remember watching into overtime. An exhausted, gashed Patriots defense lets the Titans push their way all the way down the field. Old pal, big kick, Nick Folk. Gives the Titans the lead. Oh, but just moments prior, we thought Mason Rudolph fumbled the ball right into our hands. It was for naught. And then Drake May, looking to make a Drake play, goes long, underthrows Kayshon Boutte in double coverage. Titans get the pick. Your final in overtime from Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Titans 20, Patriots 17. And I'm very curious to hear today on the Six Rings Postgame Show, live on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app, and all of our fabulous affiliates throughout New England, if this actually doesn't feel like a bit of a win for Patriots fans who want to see their guy, their future, their dude make the plays, but then also not get the win so that people like my co-host on the program, Andy Hart,
hi.
No, they've got a guy, but they also have a better shot at a draft pick.
The perfect day.
I knew that's what you were going to say. I wanted the win, damn it.
Where's you two?
Beautiful day.
It was perfect. Perfect. Drake May made a play that will recruit everybody, and then they moved up. Thank you, Panthers. Thank you, Titans. Thank you, everyone in the National Football League, for playing along with the plan in New England, because Drake May is here to stay, Gonzo's here to stay, and the number one pick is on the way.
Yeah, you know what? It really is. It's confounding. It's infuriating. It's almost. It's beautifully imperfect that Drake May makes a play that you, like you just said, likely will continue to. I mean, the second it happened on Instagram and Twitter, every single person with an account had immediately posted the video of the 11-second scramble and the miracle heave to Stevenson. So, yeah, it's what it's going to lead the dialogue all week. It's going to be, obviously, at the crux of our postgame show here on WEEI. If you want to call in and talk about what you just witnessed and how it felt, give us a call. We're here with you till after 7 o'clock, 617-779-7937. Obviously, active on the socials, as always. On at WEEI, you got at Jumbo Hart and at Fitzy GFY. And if you want to send a text message in because you can't make a phone call or because it's 2024 and you forgot how to, 37937 is monitored by producer extraordinaire Joe Braverman.
And we already have our first texter agreeing with Andy Hart. 617, perfect, and Carolina won.
These are you.
Wait,
people
hold on. Are
have
we,
become
are,
my people.
Hold on. I am nothing sexier than people typing stuff and Googling on radio. I know it makes for a phenomenal listen. I am checking Tankathon right now, and I believe the New England Patriots are back on track for the first overall pick. Wow.
How about your O face?
So think about this. You received the thrill you needed today. So you that last minute touchdown drive, an absolutely miraculous drive. Look, he's going to make mistakes. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
you know, he probably should have felt.
Yeah. We're not taking call. Anyone who says Drake May had two interceptions and a fumble, you can go jump into the Charles. Okay, it's nice and chilly. Do one of those polar splashes, plunges, whatever the hell you want to call it. If you call this radio station, we're not talking about turnovers today. We're talking about good things. I'm
okay,
happy.
Okay, wait, hold
Damn
on.
Damn it.
We can talk about it because he's going to have to learn. Like
learn that his wide receivers and his O line still blow. And
yeah, but he also has to learn
team on his shoulders.
Why did they wait until the end of the damn game to throw the kind of like rollout and deep shot that I'd been looking for them to do all game long? I mean,
the line stinks.
The Titans were sitting two deep safeties on that play. Everything else. Look, it's not about that play. I get it. But I'm momentarily frustrated. Yes.
The last play I actually think was not a great throw. I think he throws it down the numbers. It's a touchdown. He threw it to the middle of the field where the safety was. He throws that down the numbers. We might be celebrating a victory right now.
He kind of backfooted it a little bit. I think he's capable of throwing the ball further. Yes, it does happen.
Oh, he's absolutely capable of throwing the ball further. But, yeah, that was not a great throw. There were a few plays that he left out there, but his offensive line stinks. They can't line up. They can't block. They can't block Jeffrey Simmons. They hold every other effing play. The man had to do it himself today. And he's not old enough, mature enough, or good enough to do it himself just yet. But you know what? He's good enough to entertain us. Well, the game itself wasn't great. Outside of Drake May, it was kind of a crappy football game. But Drake May is the guy, and he's here to stay. We're focused on Drake May today. That's what we're doing.
I am absolutely. I am typing. Somebody has to put a promotional.
The hell are you doing?
At least one of us is putting out a promotional post-game tweet. Damn it!
I'm still waiting for you to log on to Zoom so I can stop seeing the
Zoom
foliage
this,
in Brighton, Massachusetts.
I wasn't told that I needed to be camera ready for the post-game show. I'm watching
kids.
You're
like kids, a Patriots receiver lining up, and somebody else having to tell him what he's supposed to do.
I'm like a
jack
Patriots
wagons
off,
in that
offensive
group.
Offensive lineman. Woefully unprepared and overmanned on every given play.
No, I thought the offensive line had become a strength, Gerard Mayo said.
Last week they were 17th overall in pass blocking. This wasn't even the healthiest line or healthiest rush that the Tennessee Titans could send at them. Vidarian Lowe returned to your old nickname for him.
Below.
Yes, he was not very
nice
good today.
Man,
nope. I've heard that he's a terrific person. He's a lovely chat. A gentleman at that as well. By the way, if at any point during our dialogue here in our opening monologue about today's Patriots loss in Nashville, which provided thrills aplenty late, but ultimately ended in disappointment, because that's what we're here for on the Six Rings postgame show, whether in celebration or commiseration, we do it together. If we have to cut away, that will be obviously to take Drake May live at the podium postgame, as well as Coach Gerard Mayo. A couple other things in the show. Later on, we'll have the Cars for Kids player of the game. Gee, I wonder who that's going to be. Plus, Andy will give us thumbs up, thumbs down. And at 5:45, we'll get a call from Chris Scheim with the latest edition of the Drake May report card, which it can't be an A+.
Can't spell Drake or May without A.
Yeah, it can't be an A. It can be A adjacent, but it cannot be an A+.
No, it was not an A+, and you'd always leave. I actually don't think it was even an A. I think he can be better. But in terms of a rookie quarterback making NFL start, third full game, like
despite the fact, Andy, despite pardon the interruption, no need to hit the breaking news siren, but despite the fact that the New Orleans Saints have now lost 7 games in a row, including today to the Carolina Panthers with Bryce Young at quarterback, your New England Patriots, according to Tankathon.com, have the number one pick in next year's draft.
Oh, it's so good.
Thanks to a whisker of strength of schedule. So in a lot of ways, you know what? Maybe that was secretly Drake just being like, oh, the hell with it. I need a really good offensive
I'll ask
line.
Him that tomorrow. I'll ask
you
him
know
that
what?
Tomorrow on the afternoon show. Did you throw that pick intentionally to get the number one pick in the draft?
Hey, Fitzy and I was debating yesterday on the postgame show. Did you just throw that one into double coverage knowing that if you get the first overall pick, you get multiple tackles that'll give you an actual offensive line in the future, as opposed to the 309 holding calls on your boy Ben Brown today? Woof. How many, Joe Braverman, this is something I feel like a producer does. How many accepted penalties were there in this game? Was it like
Let me pull up the box score and go to team stats. And officially, the Patriots had 8 penalties for 58 yards.
And with the Titans, that must have been combined.
It was more, 10.
18 accepted penalties. Mm. All right, here comes Coach Gerard Mayo.
I felt like that was the right thing to do. It's easy to make a judgment one way or the other, but I thought that was the right thing to do at the time. I will say this, I thought the team went out there and they fought, you know, being on the road in this environment. And I will say just a shout out to the fans that traveled. You know, I felt like we had a lot of fans that traveled and, you know, just, you know, you could hear them. You could hear them supporting us. And, you know, too bad we let them down. We got to be better. I have to be better. Coaches have to be better. We go back to the drawing board. Have to be able to, you know, run the football. You know, obviously that was disappointing. I think Drake was probably our leading rusher today. You never really want your quarterback to be the leading rusher, and that's in all facets. You know, we got to be able to move guys off the line. You know, I thought, you know, their defensive line did a good job. I mean, they were hard to handle inside, especially 98, and we knew that coming into the game. And you know, we just got to be able to stand up. Every team that we play, they're going to have either good edge rushers or good interior rushers. We just got to do a better job, you know, getting those guys off the ball. You know, defensively, again, you know, leaky run defense. There were times where, you know, it goes back to fundamentals. We spent a lot of time talking about the X's and O's, but I thought the tackling still needs to improve. That's part of it. And look, we went into the game also saying special teams was going to make a play. It had to make plays, and you know, we had, you know, the big returns by Marcus, and you know, those guys out there blocking for him. And too bad we let this one slip away.
Gerard, I think the, you know, obviously the disappointing loss, but I think the entire NFL is talking about the 12 seconds that Drake had running around and threw the game tying touchdown. Just your thoughts on what you saw from him?
Yeah, just mental toughness and the ability to make plays with his legs, which he has shown before, and gave us a chance to win the game. You know, obviously, he just didn't pull it through.
Did his running around and kind of tiredness, it looked like, after factor into not going for two there?
I'm not going to get in. I don't want to get into that. It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
2 weeks ago, you said that the production in the run game was sort of a mentality thing. Do you still feel that way, or what do you think is preventing the run game from finding consistency?
I've always felt that stopping the run and running the ball starts with your attitude. Starts with your attitude, starts with your mentality, and we just have to do better on both sides of the ball.
Gerard, what do you think of the decision by Drake on the game?
Look, he's a guy out there trying to make a play. He's trying to make a play. And I think sometimes, you know, as well as he has played, sometimes we forget how young he is. And he's going to continue to develop, and he'll be a good quarterback in this league. And, look, we'll all learn from this, myself included.
Gerard, what did you learn about him today?
Just, you know, we already knew it, but I think the obvious thing is just his mental toughness and ability to really change the page and being a resilient player. And that's a great quality to have as a quarterback, and he's a good competitor.
Your defense obviously held them, you know, I think they, you know, 17 points, obviously, regulation. But it's a sense of, you know, after that game-tying touchdown, having them come right down the field, how tough was that to watch there?
It was very tough. You know, we'll watch the film and see what happened, but it was tough. Those long drives have hurt us at times this year.
What did you see from the offensive line?
Mike ended up kicking in the guard. And we felt like, look, we need to match up with one of their best players. Again, when you watch the film, you're going to see the interior of the pocket at times was soft, and we thought, you know, putting our best player in there was the best thing to do for the team.
Mangos with two interceptions has the fumble.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Mangos has two interceptions and the fumble. What is the balance there between letting a young quarterback get his feet under him versus win now?
Look, we never want to go out there and turn the ball over. I mean, we came into the game saying we need to get turnovers and not turn the ball over. That's the recipe for us to win football games, and we just didn't do that today. He'll learn from his mistakes. Look, that's one thing. You want to go back to a characteristic. He learns from his mistakes, and he'll be better for it.
I feel like you're seeing some progress in certain facets of the game, complimentary football, the interception by Dubai. You come down to get points, you know, things like that where you kind of – you mentioned Marcus Jones with a punt return and then the drive.
Yeah, I think so. You know, at the same time, we never want to lose games. I feel like crap right now, so it's hard to really pull out a positive out of this one, for me at least.
Couple final questions. How do you feel about the way Drake protects himself, obviously, has to leave last week's game, took a few hard shots.
Yeah.
What did you think of how he handled himself in the open field?
I thought he did well. You know, I'm sure we'll watch the film and say things and second guess, you know, whether to slide or not to slide, but he's healthy, and I think that's the most important thing.
What What would you like to see the football team do now going forward here, you know, after what happened in London, where they've come and where you'd like to see them go from here?
I want these guys just to, as we always say, change the page on Wednesday and get ready for a big game coming up because it's the next game. Thanks, guys.
That was Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo at the podium from Nissan Stadium following a very intense 20-17 overtime loss for the Patriots to the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans had previously had but a victory on the season, 1-6. They now move to 2-6, and your New England Patriots move to 2-7, and by the hair of their chinny chin, strength of schedule chin, now have the first overall draft pick in the 2025 draft, which has people like Andy Hart and several others on social media right now, or those who are watching the Six Rings postgame show at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI saying, hey, you know what? Sometimes a loss can feel like a win. Andy, I want to go back to several things that Coach Mayo had to say there. First and foremost, at the time, I think we all said it. But didn't make as big a deal of it because, you know, we still thought we were going to get overtime. And, oh, boy, did Joey Sly make it interesting with a slip-in of an extra point kick at the end of regulation. Would you have gone for two there? Just no. Like, hey, look, what do we have to lose?
No. I think the right thing to do there is go to overtime. I do.
Even though your defense is getting smashed up the gut?
Well, I mean, they were inconsistent at times. They were awful early, and then they tightened it up a little. They got the cheap turnover. Like, it's not like they were marching up and down the field all day long. If they had been giving up drives like the first drive all day long, maybe. But I just think you extend the game there with the PAT. I don't think I would have gone for two. It's an interesting call. Now, it's also, it's a narrative-altering call, I guess, or narrative-sided call. Just because, you know, you can go for two, you seem aggressive, right? Or you're like, it's probably 50-50 at best. If we lose, we move up in the draft pick standings kind of thing. You know what I mean? So you can.
I think that's us thinking that. I don't think that registers with Mayo or anyone on the sideline.
I don't know. I mean, Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh are in the bench area, so I find that weird. I don't care for it at all, quite honestly. I don't know why those jackals in suits are in the bench area. If you're wearing a suit, stay out the bench area.
What are they? Well, unless your coach wears
a suit. I have no idea. Maybe telling them what to do.
But pulling strings?
I'm just telling you, I don't like those guys in the bench area. I don't know why they're there. I don't like those guys in the bench area. I saw Elliot Wolf in the bench area and Matt Groh right on the end of it. Stay in the press box where you are. I don't need you in the bench area.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly.
Stay in your box.
I wouldn't want that. It only fuels people like you people, and this is actually not a real you people. I'm not sure.
4:40, so 20 minutes into the postgame show, Joe, first you people.
Stay in your lane.
If there are people that, you know, question Gerard Mayo's leash and leadership and power and all those things, you don't need Elliot Wolf in the bench area in an overtime game. You don't.
And oh, it's kind of emasculating. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, stay the F. And it's like owners can go in there because, you know why? Because they're owners and they can do whatever they want. So if Jerry Jones goes down there, if Arthur Blank goes down there, if whoever goes down there, if you're the owner, well, there's nobody that can tell you not to go down there, right? Elliot Wolf shouldn't be in the bench area, in my opinion. But that's a side argument for another time, another whatever. That's a
okay,
separate issue.
Understood.
I want to focus on the issue at hand.
What is
Drake
the issue
May?
Yes,
is the story of the day.
Yes, in the NFL, not just in this game. Not just in this game.
Yeah, and it's we have to remember, and I said this all along. He's three games in, so he's not Jaden Daniels. He doesn't have the experience. It was not a perfect day. He also continues to be hindered by the fact that he's just not surrounded by a lot of talent. I'm sorry. DeMario Douglas, do you have
Here comes Drake May, Andy.
Drake, what was your day like? That must seem to be like quite the effort. What was it like for you out there in the offense today?
We got a pile of guys for fighting. I think that's the biggest thing. Disappointed in the loss. They made some bad decisions, especially that one at the end there. We got a chance to go down there and at least tie it up. We're on our own 40, and I think it was first down. So just got to be better. I think some decisions that I made throughout the game that would have, you know, impacted the outcome, and take that, you know, upon myself. You know, those guys battled up front, especially those guys up front. The receivers were battling. You know, I think, I was just glad to find a way there at the end of the fourth and just came up short. So, you know, we got to go back and learn from it, and especially me. You know, I got to take these and take advantage of these reps that I'm getting and, you know, in the game, and I got to play better.
Just walk through that touchdown, that final touchdown there.
Yeah. They're just on the five. They drop out the guys on the five, and you got a chance to kind of tie it up. So doing whatever I can. I think they zoned it off and they're doubling the inside guys, and we had a bunch concept and had back line, and I think Hunter ended up getting run out of bounds and just trying to keep the play alive, make a play. Mondre, good for running back out there to kind of play like a receiver and make a good play, but ended up coming up short. So that play really doesn't matter at this point.
Did you feel like you had that much? I think it was 11.82 seconds. The amount of time you had running around.
Yeah, I mean they drop out some guys.
Like it in your mind?
We credit the guys up front, man. Those five, up front blocking their butts off for 12 seconds. That's impressive. And just gotta find a way at the end there.
Drake, just that last throw. What was going through your mind? Why did you take that big shot there?
Yeah. First down and see the safety. I think we're thrown into the wind. I got to put some more on it. And just a dumb decision. Something you'd like to have back, and especially in that situation, I can go at least tie it up. We're on our, like I said, our own 40, and sometimes the best players throw it away, and it's a bad decision on my part.
I think you officially ran for 95 yards. Coming off of what you came off last week, what kind of things were you thinking of as you were running the football today?
Yeah, I tried to slide head first a little bit. Sometimes I think that's just as dangerous, diving into people's legs, but I'm not going to change the play that I am. When I'm past the protocol and cleared, I'm going to be the player. And if they're dropping out guys and there's some rush lanes up front, I'm going to make them pay. And that's my mindset. And maybe I make some better throws and maybe miss some guys. But at the same time, I'm going to play how I'm going to play.
Fair to say that you didn't feel any hesitation running despite the concussion?
Yeah, never. I should have probably broke that first one. One-on-one with the safety, yeah, make somebody miss, man. So that's on me.
Were you confident this past week that you were going to be able to clear protocol on time? What was that process like for you?
Yeah, it was tough. You want to be out there, and you want to be out there last week. You have a spotter up top. They do it to protect us quarterbacks now, and you can't blame them with what's going on with some of the quarterback hits. Maybe the process, last game on the sideline, there's I'm in my pads and in my cleats, and there's some metal on the ground inside the tent, and I'm doing the balance test, so there's some gray area there. I don't know if anybody could have passed that, but I'm really coming into this week just trusting it, and took some tests, and felt good. So.
Great. Lots of debate of your footwork in the off season, but you talk about the reps going back to this summer. Who's worked with you the most as far as Seton Ball? Thought you had great movement in the pocket, your eyes going up forward, but just your overall comfort in the pocket as you're coming along here.
Yeah, I think Seton Ball and looking at that, TC's on me. TC and AVP, they're on me about Seton Ball, little quarterback things and carrying my fakes. I remember a couple of days I didn't. Trying to little things like that go a long way. As playing quarterback, buy an extra set from defensive end if I'm carrying out a fake on a wide zone or play action stuff. I think I see the field well down the field, and it can only help me with my play action to kind of get little things and little things going. So credit all three and BMAC too. Ben Mac too. So all three of those guys have harped on it, and they do a good job throughout the week of staying on me.
Feel more and more comfortable as you play more.
Yeah, no doubt. I think sometimes I get a little hoppy back there in the pocket, but I feel like I've always kind of felt pressure well and moved well, and that's not really something that I feel like I did that well in college. So just trying to keep on doing the same.
When you score that touchdown at the end of regulation, is there any part of you, do you talk to coach or do you make a case, say, hey, let's just go for two here?
Yeah. Sure, I was just trying to catch my breath. I couldn't even think about it. But I think just looking back on it, it's easy to say. We were out there that long on such a high intensity drive. I think it's hard to go for two. I think it's easy to look back and say that now. But our defense is fresh and coming out in overtime and trying to get a stop. And they did a good job of running the football today. So
that was Drake May again impressing me, Andy. I got to say that his post game presser right there. Because he just pulled off one of the plays of the year, not just for the franchise, but one of the plays of the year in the NFL, I can't say that what he just did at the podium was the most impressive thing he did today, obviously. But standing up there, taking full accountability, full blame for not playing perfectly or playing better throughout the day and for making a bad throw, and not blaming a single other teammate, as opposed to when Coach Mayo kind of like leaves May hanging there a little bit in his post-game words, about, May being winded after running for his life for longer than most people can pull off riding a bull in a rodeo. I don't know. I got to say, I I'm more impressed with Drake May by the minute, by the postgame presser, by the avail, by the throw, by the run, by the outing, all of it. And if you're going to have a guy who's going to be the centerpiece of the franchise, he's going to be the face of your football team, and he's going to be active on the mic, in the media, in the community, and more, and of course, obviously, where it matters most on the football field, he's a dude. He really is. Good for him. I love this kid.
Yeah, I've never had any doubt from draft day, and then everything I saw all summer, I thought he handled the competition well. When your biggest criticism from inside and outside the walls of Gillette Stadium is you're being a little too deferential and respectful of your veteran competitors, I think you'll be just fine. And having spoken with him a couple times on the midday, on the afternoon program on WEEI, there is he's been more impressed. I've said it all along. We have a rookie head coach, and we have a rookie quarterback. The rookie quarterback has done and said all the right things. The rookie head coach wishes he could perform like his rookie quarterback, both at the microphone and on the field. And it's that simple. Neither is going to be perfect, but the better rookie for the Patriots all along, from April straight through now, has been Drake May. And, you know, I'm seeing he's getting a lot of guff online, and some of the aggregators, as they do, are a little too over the top in their praise of Drake.
They got to slow down with the he is him. New England has their franchise. We know they have a franchise quarterback.
We have the franchise quarterback. That's a fact. You have a franchise quarterback. You have a franchise cornerback. You got to get the whole hell of a lot of rest around both of those guys. But, no, everything. And, you know, we heard this from Elliot Wolf, I believe, is the first one that expressed it. May have been Mayo. But either Wolf or Mayo brought up part of their affinity for May was watching him struggle through a second season at North Carolina. And every week, the media trying to get him to throw lines and coaches and schemes and receivers under the bus, and he refused to do it. And that is a big part of being the quarterback. That is the reality. Like, we win, I screw up. We win, I make mistakes. We win, I made a bad throw. We win, I made a bad decision, right? That's the quarterback position if you're going to play it right and really be adored by your teammates. This is a guy that I think is going to be adored by fans and teammates alike. There will be bumpy roads ahead because there's going to be dumb throws and mistakes and different things. But the competitor in him, oh, that first one, I got to beat a freaking safety. Jeez, make a move. I should have run by him. Like, the fact that he has that immediate recollection of what he could have done better and what he could have done more is just a portion of why I think he is the quarterback of the present and the future.
It comes naturally to him. Being charismatic.
That's 'cause he grew up in that environment. And everybody mocked me when I said, you know.
Anything.
Yes, that's true. Oh, you're short. Oh, you're this. That nice forehead.
Well, hold on. I said, hold on.
How many billboards go on that forehead, you jackass? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, all right. Now this is turning into a therapy session.
But no, when I brought up the idea that he grew up in a competitive environment and he grew up with brothers and like the brothers made their heartfelt draft video where they called him a bitch. Like, I think there's value in that. He is not pampered. Oh,
he's humble not, and there's a lot of humility, yes.
I know I get into the he's not Mac Jones, and that's obvious. He's also not Caleb Williams. He's not. There is a different vibe to him, and I'm not saying that Caleb Williams isn't going to be successful and his way may not work and his personality might, whatever. Mm-hmm. Drake May is a different kind of guy, and it's different for the better. It's different for a positive for the New England Patriots moving forward. And for him to go out there and so effortlessly and believably say, those guys are battling up front, and I'm like, yeah, he's right. They are battling up front. I'm sorry, Lo. I shouldn't make fun of you on the radio. Like, he almost makes me want to change my assessment because if he can stand out there and be the bigger man after running for his life, then maybe I should be a little kinder. No, I'm not going to be. The line stinks, and that's on Elliot Wolf. You put together a crappy line in the offseason, and it's still a crappy line. It's not a strength of the team. But the fact that May goes out there so easily and tells us, oh, they're competing, and I got to be better behind them. What are you talking about? They need to be better in front of you. That's why.
The ragtag group of expendables that is the Patriots' offensive line and the spare parts receiving core. Imagine what this kid will do one day when he's got a legitimate one, a better two, and he's got a solid, professional, consistent, and healthy offensive line in front of him. It does make the heart flutter a little bit and get the Patriots fans super excited. Andy, we got a lot to break down. We got a ton of calls to get to here on the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI, 617-779-7937, 545. Chris Scheim calls in with the Drake May report card. Don't you guys go anywhere. We're with you till just after 7 on the Six Rings Postgame Show.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
See, when I hear that all over again, the final play of the game that gave the Titans the 20-17 win, Drake May throwing deep into double coverage, Kayshon Boutte not able to come back and break up the play, his second pick on the day, both to Amani Hooker, who was, I think, actually questionable coming into the game. He didn't practice all week like many of the Titans. They're one banged up squad, but they certainly found what they needed today to get the dub against the Patriots. When I hear that highlight, Andy, then I hear it and I think, damn it, I wish he got that. You know, because I understand that there's long-term value and that it's really a win-win in that Drake May looked great and made a play when they needed him to most, but then ultimately they lose. So according to Tankathon, now the Patriots still have the number one overall pick. So this is kind of an idealish slash best-case scenario. But I would have loved to have seen him hit that pass, Boutte streak into the end zone, and put the NFL on notice. Like, yeah, look, even when we don't play a good game or our best game, even against a very good team, we can still come back. There's still fight in this team. And this kid is even more of a dude than he showcased just a few minutes prior. I don't know. I would have loved to have seen him walk off the field, not head in hands, but rather hands in the air.
Yeah, unfortunately, football is a team sport, and the rest of his team stinks, as Kendrick Bourne sort of articulated at the podium. Even if you watch the replay, not a lot of fight in Kayshon Boutte there.
Yeah, just I'm reading a lot of that right now, too.
Like, he didn't even... I think there's just so many dogs in that wide receiver room. It is just... And I don't... Not WG. D-O-G-S's. Dogs. Mm-hmm. I'm just thoroughly unimpressed with all of them. I'm even losing confidence and faith in Demario Douglas. I referenced it earlier. That slant, that late slant, goes right through his hands. Could have been picked off. I just... Kendrick Bourne, false start. You're on the Hunter Henry plan this week. You got wide receivers lining up. I think it was Boutte who Hunter Henry had to, like, scream at to get off the effing line of scrimmage because he didn't know where to line up. Like, these guys
are
bums.
How do they not know this at this point? It's November, for God's sakes.
Because they're a bunch of bums. I think the entire room needs a big reset button. I'm done with all y'all. And, like, it's just, it's infuriating because you do have a great young talent, not a great young quarterback, a great young talent. There's a lot of molding and polishing to be done, which he himself would admit. I also would say, if we're going to go down the negative road, I don't think Alex Van Pelt, in terms of the offensive execution, is covering himself in glory. The questions about Alex Van Pelt are going to continue through the rest of the season, and I think he gets credit for Drake May's development. But I continue to wonder if you bring in somebody above his pay grade to run the offense and Alex Van Pelt becomes sort of the personal coach for Drake May.
I was going to ask, did you have any idea what the game plan was?
Wasn't a good one. Like, too many early runs when you couldn't run at the length of Bill Belichick's you-know-what, his fishing pole. I'm talking about his fishing pole.
People. Or his boat. That's fine.
Or his boat. Or his mermaid friend or whatever else. You couldn't run at the length of anything. The only runs you got today were from Drake May.
I think did you see the discrepancy?
I was looking.
Oh, my God.
Ramondre Stevenson, who we think is supposed to be good, and I actually think ran hard. There were some runs where he got like 1 yard where I was like, that was a pretty good run to get 1 yard out of that. To finish with 16 yards, 1.6 yards per carry, longest run of the day, 5 yards. That's not a ground game you can
that's
live with.
I'm sorry. Whereas compared
especially
to Drake
May. Especially for this team. Like, most teams would be mad, but some teams don't. They might dismiss the run game, depending on the philosophies, whatever. This team has told us anytime we could listen, they need to run the ball. They want to run the ball, have to run the ball. We're a run-first team. Well, if you take out the 95 yards rushing from your quarterback, you were not a run-first team. You were not even close. You ran. The other people ran for 15 total yards. Three guys, 12 carries, 15 effing yards.
And your quarterback, 8 scoots for 95.
Right, and he's the one at the podium trying to make excuses and be the good leader, and I love it. I love it, but it's infuriating. And I will say there's going to be less and less winnable games. So I do appreciate enjoying Drake May here because I think there are some days ahead. I mean, this was, unless I'm missing something, this was the last most winnable game, correct? Arizona's better than people think. Chicago's pretty good. You got a couple Bills games. The Dolphins have two. Like, I'm not sure how many more games we're going into.
I think the most winnable game left on the schedule is Week 13 against the Colts at home.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say still, that's going to be the most winnable game, Joe, because it, depending on how tonight goes, and I think it's going to be a reasonably entertaining Sunday night affair with the Colts and the Vikings. You know, if old man Flacco is doing what he did last year, who knows? I wouldn't say that that's the most winnable game by any stretch. Maybe the way Miami's playing when you go down, and maybe Drake balls out, although they have a good secondary. There's a legitimate chance the Patriots could run the table.
Mm.
And by run the table, I mean run
the
right
opposite
off the
runs.
Table, right off. Right off.
Yeah, the bad kind of runs.
Run under the table and hide.
Yes.
Let's, you know what? All right, we have to catch a break so we can sort of recalibrate our
Jimmy, Christmas.
Excuse me, sir. Young
These
young
breaks
man,
get number... in the way of my takes. The breaks hurt my takes.
All right.
You have a whole afternoon show tomorrow to do that.
Yeah, you've got your own whole afternoon show. I have an evening show tomorrow night.
Well,
mine's
no,
not even
Arcand gets in the way of my takes on that one.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm just trying to remind everyone they can call you at 617-779-7937. There's your phone number.
Let's grab one quick call before we go to the break. You know what, Andy? This will be let's start with a nice call. Sophia is in Rhode Island. Hi, Sophia. Welcome to the postgame show.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to say that when I was watching this game with my dad, like, this is, like, the happiest that my dad has been over a Patriots game ever since Tom Brady played.
Yep.
Honestly.
Really?
And I also think that Drake May, yeah.
That's great. That's great to hear. And what do you have to say about Drake May?
I honestly think that they should let Drake May play more. He's obviously the best player on the team this season.
Would you, as a watching the game with your dad, Sophia, would you like to see the Patriots let Drake May do Drake May things? Run around, throw the ball more, and make it his game.
Absolutely.
That is a great first call. I'm glad your dad was happy today. Thanks for calling in, Sophia.
We were all happy. I was on the edge of my seat. I jumped out of my seat. My son jumped out of his seat. Like, there was energy throughout Patriot Nation. Didn't matter where you were, whether you're Jake in Australia, Andy in Dartmouth, Fitzy in Fitzyville, wherever the hell you live.
Fitzy in Fitzyville.
Sophia.
How about
Rhode
Sophia
Island?
In Rhode Island? Jake in Boston, Chuck in New Hampshire, Coach in New Hampshire, Dan in Rhode Island, all the people lined up.
Energy is back, baby, in Patriot Nation. Now if we just add some talent to the energy, we'll be cooking.
Oh, so that's all we need. The Patriots, all they need is talent. Listen, I do want to do a little something. We're going to throw it a break now, recalibrate the schedule here on the show. But we got two more hours to go here on the postgame show. Chris Scheim, 5:45. Calling in with the Drake May report card. We'll have thumbs up, thumbs down, cards for kids, player of the game, all brought to you today on the Six Rings postgame show by our friends at McFarland Energy. I want to do this, Andy. The trade deadline is this Tuesday. It's the
trade
only thing. It's the only thing of import. It's the only thing worth discussing this Tuesday. Nothing else going on. Nothing.
You got to cast your vote for Trump. Don't forget your MAGA vote. Vote MAGA down in Utah.
Yeah, there you go. Here we go. Now you threw Giardi under the bus the other day. Now you're going to get people picketing my house later on. Thanks. I want to do this. You can, like, let's protect five. You can protect five players. We'll do the expansion draft kind of
Drake,
thing.
Drake, Gonzo, Bob.
Now I said we'll do it later because otherwise I'm at a point with this team now that unless your name isn't Gonzo or Drake May, at this point, basically, y'all can – and Hunt – I'll keep Hunter Henry, too. After that, I'm not really sure if there's anyone else.
Yeah, can I trade away my save picks for, like, future picks? I don't know if I need all five of them.
617-779-7937. We'll get to your calls when we come back. Just getting right here, going back on track here on the postgame show. Six ring style with Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Fitzy and Fitzyville.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.